your Cavaliers winners again. 119, 113 over the Bulls. We're 12-0.
What else is new?
What? I mean, my God. This is good stuff. You run out of things. You run out of things to say. Other than, you know, today it does start. This is the official beginning of the NBA Cup, which used to be called the in-season tournament. But today is the NBA Cup. And ladies and gentlemen, your Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference, they are in Group C with Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, and the Washington Wizards. Not exactly a lightweight, my friend. What do you think of that? Today
pretty
starts
pretty exciting. So when you told me today so that cup starts today.
So you know how the NBA Cup,
rename it NBA Cup. Rename the groups too. Don't call them Group C.
Well, yeah, that's what they need to name them after Hall of Famers.
That's all this is. Name is after Hall of Famers. Group C.
Yeah, we're how Group boring. C. Yeah, name the groups after Hall of Famers. The Jordan group. There you go. C. Group C. Pistons, Indiana, Miami, Milwaukee, Toronto, the Vince Carter group, Group B. There you go.
Yeah, well, the groups are just going to change every year, you're right? Because these aren't the same groups that they had last year.
Well, it's called something different last year. And we panned the in-season tournament last year. Oh, we panned it terribly. You tried to get all excited. Did you? Did you try to get excited for it?
As just something to, I wanted to see
break away the monotony.
Yeah, I wanted to see if they could make the games look any different. And the first thing they did, which was met with a lot of criticism, was they changed the courts.
Yeah, they did.
So you knew if you were watching a random NBA game,
this is an in-season tournament game.
You knew that it was a different game, and
when they're playing at Williamsport, you know it's a big deal.
Yeah, a lot of people started because the first night the court, whatever it was last year, and then the courts got better, and it seemed like people were like, you know what, I could warm up to this. I just had to train my eyes a little bit to figure it out. But the question was, were these games going to seem any different? Because the rules weren't going to be any different, right? There's no different rules. It's not like they go to the Elam ending in these games.
Speaking of the court, by the way, the Athletic has a ranking 1 through 32 of the in-season or NBA Cup courts. Your Cleveland Cavaliers are ranked 21st.
What's the color scheme?
It is a black baseline and sideline. Wine court with the cup logo in the middle and then the cup in the key.
Do they dare wear the wine jerseys during this time and try the old trick play where you lay down and you get lost in the court?
So it says, let them know on the sideline, and all three people from the Athletic are panning the let them know slogan, which has been around for 3 years?
It's been a holdover
than that.
Oh yeah. Wow, man!
Because we wondered if going to a new head coach, they were gonna get off that. They got off the chain. There's no chain anymore, right?
No
more chain.
But they're still doing let them know.
Literally off the chain, yes.
So but they're doing let them know. Every time I've sarcastically tweeted about the Cavs, I think I've used let them know more as a sarcastic thing than a real thing. But it did. I would have to say it's definitely caught on. It's definitely something the fan base.
The only way to get the little Cavs C logo in your tweet.
Right, with the hashtag.
There you go. So it says, King writes, who are the people who voted for it here? Jason
Jerry
Jones, Josh Robbins, Jay King, not Jerry the King Lawler. I bet Jerry the King Lawler would have it rated higher. He is a fan of Cleveland sports. He wrote, I don't know when or why let them know became the Cleveland motto, but it fits better now with the Cavaliers apparently ready to become a viable championship contender. All right. Hey, the shades of Marie. He didn't write the all right. Hey, I put
you
it
added
in there.
That. You editorialized.
He writes, the shades of maroon aren't inviting, though.
Okay? I'm looking at it right now. I believe
it's
this
not
is this year's.
He finishes, it bothers me that they included a period after let them know. So this is at least a little fun. He's having a little bit of fun here.
Yeah, I think the whole thing about the cup was the NBA knew they were going to start this cup thing. This is what, year three?
It's year two.
Oh, it's year two.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that mixed up with the playing games, which they've had now
totally
for a few years. So this is something that they wanted to do because everybody said the regular season games don't mean anything anymore. We're going to give you something to have some new meaning. And last year, it was so new. There's no tradition with it. There's nothing to look back at. There's no memories. There's none of that.
Felt like her second leg, it would be like a bubble tournament again or something. Like,
yeah.
That's the way it felt to me.
Yeah, so this is only something that can work if they stick with it and do it long term. And it creates something. So year two,
the TV ratings were a little bit bigger. So once they're a little bit bigger, they're like, yeah, they're going to do something.
Well, weren't the Lakers involved last year? Yeah.
Well, they won.
Yeah, they won it all. And then there was a big debate about whether or not they'd put up the banner. I still think they should give it a shot. I just don't think the incentives. I wanted the incentives to mean something at the end of the year. And until you do that, until you find a way, and I've heard competition people like go on podcasts and explain the pros and the cons of doing that, because the NBA did look at it. They really did. They looked at all of what Europe does with soccer. They wanted, because those games, what they do in other countries and other soccer leagues,
yes,
it does work. How can we do that in the NBA where we only seem to care about championships? How can we find a way to make something like this that's plopped down in the middle of the season that then culminates in Las Vegas, that you get a banner, but right now that's being mocked? Any teams that put up these banners, they're getting mocked for doing it. I think Cavs have already said that like a banner is going up if they win this thing.
Well, last year I didn't really think that they would have a great chance to win the in-season tournament for whatever reason. I didn't like compute with me.
Were they in Milwaukee's group last year?
I think so. I'm not sure.
And we thought Milwaukee was going to be really good.
Exactly. This year, I'm going, this team that could win the in-season tournament, NBA Cup.
The Emirates NBA Cup.
So if they win the Emirates NBA Cup, do you take down Nate Thurman's banner and do you put up the NBA Cup banner?
I think that's a perfect poll question today.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think that's...
I would say Nate Thurman's family would be upset, except Nate Thurman himself seemed to be perfectly fine.
And rooted against us in the NBA Finals.
Yes.
So I don't need that guy up there. I've told you that for years. I don't need that banner up there. We have to try to educate people on that. And then when you educate them, they're like, that doesn't deserve a banner. Why does he deserve a banner?
It really actually doesn't. But once you put it up, it's like, well, once it's up, you can't take it down.
We've issued the challenge for people to do
the only thing I thought...
Said if you want to commit a crime and you can get away with it, take the banner down.
No, I don't need people going up there like Sting trying to take the banner down.
This is not the right thing.
Reckless speculation.
Me out of court.
I got to tell you, we've had pictures of people. They look like they are 5 feet away from that banner.
Yes. Yes, and they were conniving, and they were just weighing whether or not it made sense for them. Was that worth risking... maybe some of their freedom or fines or the humiliation, their family's name.
So before...
I think one of Thurman's family members said they were willing to take it down. Either way.
We got to find some Thurman family members, see what they have to say about
it. This could be the legitimate way to do it. That we have a actual stakes, high-stakes situation.
Yeah.
Cavs win it. One banner comes down.
The other one goes up.
Or we've even talked about just putting up a banner that goes over the other banner. So his is still there.
You know what you do?
You don't take it down.
You
know what
you
do?
Town match.
If they win the tournament, if they win the NBA Cup, this is the only way I'll agree to take down Nate Thurman's banner, because the only other time, like when you first started talking about it, like there were some things going on in America looking into people's past. I'm like, well, you're going to have to dig in the past. Do you really want to go dig into Nate Thurman's past? Do you want to find out if there was anything bad back there? I don't think there was anything bad, but I don't want to go digging up something there just to try to take his banner down.
We did it for Christopher Columbus. We can do it for Nate Thurman.
But your reasoning for Christopher Columbus was different from Nate Thurman's. You just wanted Nate Thurman's banner down. This is that was just an aesthetic thing, because now, when you look at the grand scheme of things, like, LeBron, Love, Irving, probably Mitchell by the time it's all said and done. I'm like, these are some pretty incredible basketball players. And Nate Thurman was a Hall of Famer, an incredible basketball player. But his history is with Golden State, and not necessarily with us.
Yes. His 114 career games with the Cavs, in which he averaged 5 points a game. So I don't think you need the banner.
This is the compromise I'm willing to make here, because I have been steadfast, like, you can't do it. They win the NBA Cup. You take the NBA Cup banner. You put the banner up there.
He did average 6 rebounds, 4 assists.
It was a different game back then.
Yeah. And 5 points a game.
He only averaged that many rebounds? What did he average for his career?
For his career, it ended up being 15.
He averaged 15 rebounds a game for
his career. I'm sorry. I thought you meant points. Rebounds, actually, yes, 15 rebounds a game.
Okay, so he was obviously at the end of his career.
He was a third of the player here that he was in his career.
You put a banner up. You can put up the NBA Cup banner. You take down the Thurman banner. You don't just hide it. You put it somewhere in the lobby.
Make it Where's Waldo. Yeah. Now, that would be cool.
I don't think you need to make it a Where's Waldo. It's a giant banner.
This is awesome. Yeah, you can hide it. You can hide it around every different game. It's a new contest. And if you find the banner, you get improved seats.
Are you crazy?
This could be fun. I think the fans would be really into this promotion.
Or how about this? They're building the new, 150 million square foot facility over there by the river? I mean, it seems to be a huge facility. Take it over there. Hang it over there. You're still honoring the guy.
You're still honoring him.
You don't need to give away number 42. We're not saying to give away the number again that a player can wear it. Just, you move on from it.
Name one of the MRI rooms after him. Something. There's got to be a way to still keep his name.
Why the MRI rooms?
No, just somewhere over there.
You guys need to knock off the Owen Hart jokes on the internet. Okay, for the love of God, folks. Knock it off. I didn't say it. They're putting it out there, for the love of God. It's Tuesday morning at 6:14. Cavaliers are 12-0.
Is it our responsibility to hype up? See, now this is the risk you run. Because they're undefeated coming into the cup, now if they lose one of these cup games, it's going to be, the pressure of the cup. The pressure of the cup caught to them. They caved. Once the game started mattering, they couldn't take
it. Good. Good.
So now you have a real playoff feel.
I want all the possible adversity that they can. Yeah, I said it. I said the word. I want all the possible adversity that they can get. As much as we could possibly get before it actually takes it. Because, I mean, they're 12-0, man. I mean, if you ain't going to talk championship possibilities now, when are you ever going to talk about them?
Well, I don't know if it changed over the last two games, but two games ago I saw that they were the best offense in NBA history. Which I know is happening now. Every year there's a new offense that's the best offense in NBA history by whatever metrics. And the Cavs, because they were the best offense this year, and we're a year later, by virtue of that, they were the best offense in NBA history. So it's got a nice ring to it, right?
Yes. So, I will take down the banner if the Cavs win the NBA Cup. They have to win the NBA Cup, though. If they don't, then the banner stays up.
It'd be cool.
I want you to accomplish.
Be something to play up. Be something to, especially because Boston's involved. I love that you had the added intrigue of that series already. Already, we lost to them last year. I know they still don't have Porzingis. And I think we're okay. We're okay on Jared Allen last night, right? He was getting worked on. I think after the game, they said he's fine. So that's good news. Because the Cavs have, with the exception of Max Strus, have been one of the healthier teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
I want this to be a nice, much ballyhooed matchup, something that we can promote and get into.
Off the top of my head, biggest differences this year so far. Darius Garland, the Renaissance.
Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
The Renaissance. That's right. This is the second consecutive week Cavs players are in the honor. And I think it's the second time in his career, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
That's right here. Second time of his career. Good for Darius Garland. So one has to be the Renaissance of Darius Garland. Two, I mean, I know he's a hell of a golfer, but a healthy Ty Jerome is paying dividends here. The 12 points off the bench last night. It's like a Vinny Johnson scenario here.
This is important now. I'm glad you brought his name up.
Okay.
They went last year from, of all the good teams, they had some of the worst point guard play in the league, and then they had no backup. So Darius was having the season from hell, and then there was nobody. There was really nobody afterwards. Now Darius is playing like an all-star, maybe all-NBA point guard, and then there's zero drop-off.
Exceedingly.
When you go to the bench.
Yeah.
Zero, because Jerome has been magnificent.
So you put in Ty Jerome, and then you put in, obviously you put in, I would say a little bit, not obviously, but I think you put in a little bit of Dean Wade, because I still think he stretches the floor. I understand that he's not necessarily shooting the hell out of it, but I think he stretches the floor. And then you got to give some credit to Kenny Atkinson. You can't sit there and say that he doesn't. I know that you're not saying it, but it's like, it's so weird because I'm thinking, okay, what is the, it's the same players. It's the same players. So what is this? Is vibe different? There you go. But they've done a tremendous job to start things off. They're 12-0. We'll talk more Cavs coming up here in a bit. So when you say something like this, It is a high insult to a football player. But when you say it about yourself, well, all right. Well, let's hear it here. Jed Wills was asked a question about not playing against the Ravens, and here's the question and the answer.
I mean, you'd started the first 57 games every time you were healthy.
Yeah.
So how shocking was this to not?
It was pretty shocking. I mean, I decided myself that I made a business decision not to play after the Bengals game going into that Ravens game because I was injured. And then the next week is when I received the news. So, I mean,
do you think that they misinterpreted the business decision?
I'm not sure. Maybe.
And he used the term himself. I mean, you can't. I mean, that is an insult to a football player.
Ken, if he were a more prominent player, this would have been one of the biggest stories in the NFL.
Yes.
Because it's a guy that we all know is not going to be a Cleveland Brown next year.
Yes.
And an offensive lineman who just hasn't nearly. He had potential. I think we kind of liked him, you know, his first few years. And then that, I think there was always a question about how much.
The first year was all right. But
yeah.
Again, remember, he got like kind of sort of hurt in that like first mm-hmm. week. And then it's like, oh, shin and all this other stuff. I'm not necessarily sure. It goes further here. He was asked whether or not this sat well with the Browns.
It was just a quick conversation between me and Kevin, maybe like a minute long. He just told me I wasn't playing, and that was it.
So that didn't sit well with them that you made this
pick? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure.
And how does that work between you and the docs? Do they say, hey, you're good to go, and you're like, I'm really not good to go?
Oh, yeah, they just, I think it was Friday I tried to do some stuff, just kind of see how I feel before practice, and it didn't feel good, so.
So do the docs clear him?
Okay, so
it sounds like the docs cleared him.
Yeah, he had, in the longer form that I had heard, he had said that he was like 70% or whatever. He sounded surprised that he was cleared in one of the games.
All right, here's Mary Kay asking if he was told to play despite his injury.
What did they say? Like, no, you got to get out there? And you were like, I can't?
Oh, yeah, they were just kind of asking me, like, what I felt, you know, what was wrong. You think that maybe you could make, like, a game-time decision, stuff like that. But I just ended up being inactive for that game.
Okay. So this is the end, right? That's it?
Yeah.
Because there's been plenty of Browns players who have made business decisions in the past. You just don't say it. You just don't say it. You do, for a million reasons, you just don't say it. Especially for reasons like this, that when it's at 6:29 in the morning, we're talking about him admitting he made a business decision. Guys do that. Not the ones that we talk about for 30 years. Not those guys. Not the ones that give speeches in Canton. Not those guys. But you know, there are guys in the NFL. They're playing for a team that's not too good. They know they might not be. They might be on the outs with him. Here we are, a team that's not too good. He might be on the outs with him. And they make a business decision. And so the Browns, they got to make a business decision. Okay, well, you know what? We got to see what DeJuan Jones has over at left tackle because, well, we got to figure out what we have at right tackle. Maybe he makes a fine enough left tackle. The guy's the size of a mountain, for crying out loud. Maybe he will be able to do that. Tell him, I mean, this is, it's just not a good look.
Okay, it's definitely not a good look. It's definitely, it's finally an athlete's honest in this climate. Normally,
yeah.
An athlete would keep this to themselves and
fair.
Probably absolutely should have. My question is, immediately, I thought about Baker Mayfield, and I remember coming on the air telling Baker that I thought he was making a huge mistake trying to play through an injury because it was going to be bad for the team, but I also said it was going to be bad for his business. So how do I turn around now and rip on Jed? Maybe just that he was public about it, maybe just behind the scenes, but overall, just the larger picture, I thought Baker, in the short term, cost himself a ton of money trying to play through an injury.
That's a great point here.
So what do I say if I'm trying to be consistent here?
Well, did the doctors shut Baker down? Because, I mean, there was physical injury. Like, there was clear damage that was done with Baker's injury. By the doctors, they had said
Jed went over in that because Daryl posted the longer back and forth.
92.3 thefan.com.
And he did talk about some structural things and some things he had talked with his physician about, and he would say the same thing, that yeah, there's stuff in there.
Well, the doctors
that messed
you
up, and also he said caused him to play. He said definitely impacted his play on the field.
Well, no kidding. I don't think he wants, but I don't think he wants to go out there and look bad. So, but again, there's. There's 4 years of evidence for fans that they don't care for him.
Right.
And then you have this. It makes him look bad. It makes Andrew Berry look bad during a 2-7 season. It's just, it makes the people that were involved with the draft pick look worse. It makes them look worse. There's just no doubt about this. That a guy comes out and he admits he's made a business decision. I rarely ever hear something like that. And I don't think I've ever
That's
heard that with the
off.
Browns. It caught me really
caught us off guard.
Aghast.
I listened to him talk at length, and my takeaway was this is a guy who has zero confidence and knows that he hasn't been playing well and is probably coming up with his excuses, whatever you want to call them, justifications or excuses. That they sound like excuses to us, obviously, because we don't like them. If we liked him and thought he was really good and thought he was going to be a part of the future of the Browns, we'd say, well, yeah, there's a reason he's not playing well. It's because of injuries. But he sounded like a guy that it's a lot of it's upstairs and he's grappling with that. And a lot of injuries do end up messing you upstairs. I think that happened with Darius last year.
Well, there's
Darius Garland was fully healthy the last 2 months of the year, had plenty of time to get back to normal with his weight and everything, but you could tell mentally was not there.
He was fully physically healthy.
Yeah,
mentally, he was not healthy.
This is why we got to ask Greco about this at 8 o'clock, because I would probably say more at the end of the season. I will say now, I imagine there are... I would imagine there are questions along the locker room, and there have been in the past. There's your Easter egg of, hey, we tape it up and we go. Those guys have to be imagining that they tape it up and they go, well, why couldn't he go? That is one of the things that are wondered about. You know, if they get cleared, quote, because I guarantee you there are linemen all around the league are going, yeah, I got cleared by the doctors and I wasn't feeling very good, but you know what? I took the shot, I taped it up, and off we went. Now, they're not playing quarterback with the Cleveland Browns or not playing quarterback in the NFL, so there is a thing where, yeah, your performance can get in the way. And I think that, yeah, there's plenty of offensive linemen who are sitting there going, yeah, guys, it's week 8. Of course I'm hobbled. What are you talking about? It's week 8. They all get hobbled.
Well, this is
so.
This,
I think that there is
Kenny. We've had Joe Thomas on how many times that guy could have missed so many games.
Yes,
he did. He's also a Hall of Famer. Yeah, you know, Jed Wills, whether he's healthy or not, is not a Hall of Famer. And maybe a guy like Jed, this word sounds like I'm sticking up for him. I'm really not. It's not like we've been all in on him. We've had questions. We were hopeful that he could turn it around because left tackles are really brutally hard to find. But if you have somebody who's not good when he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And inconsistent, what's it going to be like when they're injured? Joe Thomas injured was still an all-pro. Huge difference.
Yeah, it's...
He's not getting his quarterback killed.
No, he's not. But I'd be willing to go as far as... I wonder if there's some resentment in other quarters of the locker room there. Where it's like, hey, I got to play for my future as well, and I'm taping it up and we're going here. And maybe I'm not feeling the very best, but we're going to go out there and we're going to give it the old try, especially since we're 2-7 right now. This is something that is not a bombshell in the locker room. I guarantee it's been discussed, but it's a bombshell for us.
Kenny, it's so strange. I can tell we're looking at each other going, we haven't heard this before. This is so bizarre to hear someone who is also up for a contract. And, like, whoever ends up signing him in the offseason, the fans are going to be like, well, he played for Cleveland. They were out of it. Is he really going to play through? And we're going to send that audio to them, and they're going to be like, we signed this guy. This was our prized offseason acquisition. Because he's going to sign with somebody, right? It's not like he's out of the league.
I would have, no, he'll get a chance to sign with somebody. Somebody will look at him and go, I could probably fix him.
Yeah, it's a Browns problem.
Cam Irvin,
but there will be.
Right. Well, that's true.
But this is the thing about an offensive lineman, and damn it, this is something that would be like, hey, we'll give him a chance. We're not going to give him a contract here. That a lot of this stuff, it's like, hey, if you're slow, we can make you a little bit faster. If you're willing to put in the work, they will work with you. Like Alex Leatherwood, when he was cut like a year in, it's like, oh, that's a huge red flag. And I know he was on the Browns practice squad. That's a huge red flag. It's like, okay, somebody will bring him in and put him on a P squad, but will they make him a starter? I don't think so. And so there's a lot of stuff where it's like, will you be willing to learn what it takes to do that? And these offensive line coaches, whether we like them or not, these guys all talk. Coaches are coaches in general. It's a very small group in the totality of things. So they say a lot of these things about guys and a lot of stuff about offensive line, D line as well. It's all effort based. We'll get to this coming up with John Greco at 8 o'clock.
Does Lima like or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? No like.
But I definitely knew what I liked and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right. Extended weekend. We'd like to thank all the veterans out there as well, including...
More on that coming up at 7:45.
I'm a likes.
Owen.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We never go out of our way to thank Owen the way we should.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you.
Mitch, you got anything to say in
there? Come on, Mitch. Get in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Get on record.
Let's go.
We'd like to thank Owen. No problem thanking Owen for his service.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So we will get to that a little bit later on because it came into play, I think, for the last 24 hours.
7:45, it's going to be fun.
But we start out, like, I am not...
Lima no likes.
I got to tell you, maybe because I was traveling, I watched the least amount of football, NFL football, I've watched in a very long time, including last night. Did you even know there was a game last night other than it was Monday night?
You watched the littlest amount of football you've ever watched over the weekend?
Yeah, I watched barely anything.
What?
Owen and Ken probably likes.
Oh,
I watched the most football I've watched. Yeah. All year.
I watched Red Zone for the first time in years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because they switched up the NFL plan. And so it's like NFL Plus, which is like $7, but you get nothing. Right. You get nothing. You don't get the all 22. I don't even know if you get replay. I don't know what the hell that is for.
Really get all 11.
But if you do the, they only give you 9. You know, you can't see 2 of the wide receivers. And every now and then they take a guard out. They just pixelate them. So, or you could have got the NFL Plus premium. It's like, oh, you get Red Zone. I'm going... Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I go, oh my gosh, I have Red Zone now. And I watched...
You didn't watch that Germany game, did you?
I watched as many games as I could. I didn't start until 1 o'clock, though. I didn't start until the 1 o'clock
game. There was
games.
No chance.
No.
Nobody I know cared about that game. Even the gamblers were like, we're not watching this one.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I went to it, and I still don't like it that much. I like a storyline. I'm a man who likes to be brought in, embroiled in a conversation. But I got to tell you, I was like, man, I feel like I'm watching all these games right now. Now, what bothers me is that most people, they like the highlights and they like the stats and everything like that. I want to see how the drive developed. I want to see what happened back there. Well, I don't know what happened back there because you're at a different game. So it still isn't my favorite because I like to go deeper, but... And it wasn't bad. It was a nice enough experience.
Well, so paying attention.
I'm a no lie.
I did see Steelers won again. They're 7-2, and they are like the talk of the league right now. Outside of Detroit, just despite 5 interceptions, somehow winning that game against Houston, and the Texans totally coughing that up in the second half. The Steelers at 7-2. I've made it known that I think parts of the station have become too Steelers-centric, especially over the offseason. Everything that was going on, the afternoon show was like, but how does it compare to the Steelers? Everything the Browns are doing, how does it compare to the Steelers? Maybe they had a point. Maybe the afternoon show was right to be talking so much Steelers because the Steelers look like not the class of the AFC, but they are pretty damn good.
Did you, by the way, did you see how they lost that game, the Commanders?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so
the offsides?
Johnny Newton, do you remember when that happened to the Browns? Because the first thought I went, oh, my
goodness.
Which
one was that?
It would have been, I think it was Billy Wynn's rookie season, and he did it. Billy Wynn, great guy, did it against the Colts, and it cost the Browns a game.
You rarely see anybody being fooled, especially in a, hey, we're trying to fool you moment. Like, there are times where it's so obvious, where a team's letting the clock wind down. Are they really going to go for it? What is the situation? And every team lines up and does the hard count 30 times. It never works. So when the game is on the line, to actually have it work. And it was a young guy. And they've been, even Washington is just their whole season has been so much fun. Even in their losses, it's like, well, it's a moral victory. They're not supposed to be here. But that game was actually a fun game from what I could tell.
It was awesome.
In the highlights, it was since awesome. I wasn't watching a lot of live football. And then I'm just bummed because Carolina has three wins. Like, when the Carolina Panthers have more wins than your football team. So I guess the good news is there's even less teams to contend with right now. If you truly want a quarterback, there's even less teams to contend with.
I believe Tankathon has the Browns at number 3 overall.
Yeah.
Pretty high.
I even heard another national guy. It seems like every day there are national guys that can't wait to get their takeoff that the Dallas Cowboys are the worst team in the NFL. And I'm like, I can tell there's one game you didn't see this year.
Well, because they know they're gonna get engagement.
If the Cowboys are the worst team in the league, what did they do to us in the opener?
Dismantled us.
They looked like the class. I remember walking away from that game going, well, it takes solace in the fact the Cowboys are really good. I remember that after the opener. Nope. Cowboys might now be the worst team in the league. So it got me thinking, if there's less teams all in that 2-win area, then maybe let's talk some quarterback. But then I had the text out this weekend.
I'm a no-like.
Cam Ward. Browns don't want him. He's officially off. I know statistically he was okay.
God, that's right.
But they lost to Georgia Tech. And they had their first loss of the year. Now, he statistically was fine. He had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. But from my buddies who were dialed in, they were like, you are going to want to stay away from him. Although, maybe.
I'm alike.
Did you pay attention to Jalen Milroe at 185 yards rushing? He was looking a freakazoid.
No, thank you.
Not at all?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want him.
That was a nice win over LSU.
So you are
in the spot right now. So this is going to be very interesting.
You're just going to gloss over Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah. Well, I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh.
So I was going to get to this. Do you think the Browns can be the fans? I say the fans. We know the teams do this a very different way, but I see a lot of fans are just they're crossing off quarterbacks every week. And I just don't know that we're in a position that we could possibly do that. I think everybody's got to be in play.
They don't want a quarterback. They want the perfect quarterback.
Which is insane. That just doesn't even come close to existing.
I understand that, but it just depends on when they're watching. And if they see a quarterback play well at the time that they watch, then they're going to like that guy. If they don't necessarily play well or they make some boneheaded gaffe at any time at the point that they're watching, then we cannot have that guy. It's that simple when it comes to college football. It's all empirical evidence. How many people out there have actually sat down like me or you or Keith Britton and have gone, all right, this is what I know that the Miami Hurricanes do. This is what they've done well under Manny Diaz. This is what they haven't done well under Manny Diaz. This is what Cam Ward did at Incarnate Word, what he did at White. They're not doing that. They're just tuning into a football game. They're going, hey, I got a little bit of time. They're playing Georgia Tech, and it's a Saturday. Maybe it's the first Saturday after youth football season or youth soccer season. So they're sitting down. They're going, hey, Miami, Cam Ward, the Browns are 2-7. Kenny and Anthony keep telling me about this guy. Let's watch this guy. This guy sucks.
That if you are ever tuning in to a college quarterback and looking for a reason to cross him off, you will find that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You will find that reason every time. So Shedeur Sanders,
I'm alive.
30 of 43, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and
291.
Don't look now, but the Buffs and Pat Shurmur, the Colorado Buffaloes, could be in the playoff. I thought their season was going to be over about 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw.
I thought Deion Sanders was going to be over about 7 weeks ago. We were having heated conversations about whether guys were going to take business decisions and just opt out and get ready for the draft. And now Colorado is in an incredible spot. They're 7-2 and they're 5-1 in the conference. And with what's happened, the carnage in the Big 12. I mean, BYU is unbeaten. After that, Iowa State's lost 2 in a row.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's... Hey, boy, I don't know what's going on there. I told you them linebackers, they got hurt. I was worried about that. Now I'm about to get a text, so here we go. Thanks.
I'm no likes.
All right, Kent State looks like the worst team in all of college football. They're 0-9. However, the fact that they're so bad has other people, some people in particular, interested in the head coaching job. Can I interest you in an all-time special teams legend and somebody who did it all there? Wasn't it special teams?
Can you get any worse?
Kent State.
No, you can't.
Josh Cribbs sounded like he might be interested
over the weekend.
I
am more than willing to let Joshua Cribbs take a whirl at that one. Go right on ahead.
Can you imagine Josh Cribbs? And he's got to have a chief of staff, right?
He has my full support.
You know his wife would just move right. They have GM roles now.
Yep.
You don't think his wife could come over and be very, very helpful to that program?
That's fine with me.
The two of them, the Cribbses, both of them, the Cribbses. We had to talk to Josh Cribbs. I think this would be very, very interesting.
Love to, bring Josh on. I would love to have him on. Yeah, go right on.
We'll do his first job interview.
This isn't like, oh, Ken likes Akron. No. Take a swing at it. Could it get worse? It can't get worse. You're on 9. You can't recruit anybody. Go try. Yeah, if anybody at Kent State's listening, go do that.
All right, that's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding as always, Tone. Really, well done.